Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Mark and Zach, the Outsiders podcast show. My name is Zach, and I am, as ever, joined by my good friend and co-host, Mark. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Zach, how you doing?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Very good. We're back for another exciting episode. And this week is a little bit different. We're continuing with the confidence theme, but we are going to be talking more about mortality. Obviously, a lot of our podcasts are about life and coping with life from a perspective of an outsider or from people that are sensitive or have mental health issues. So, and this week it's partly inspired by my father, who sadly for me and for Mark as well, because he was a big fan of the show, he died last week in South Africa where he lived. And it kind of, he was one of our biggest fans. He was a great supporter of us and always encouraging, and will be greatly missed. But we thought it might be a good opportunity not to sort of dwell on that, but to talk about life in general and how death can affect your life, how it can drive decisions and fears sometimes with people. So I'm quite interested. There's a philosophical argument that understanding death gives life meaning, which I think is quite interesting. So Mark, is there anything you'd like to say as we jump into the sea?
Well, first of all, you know, huge commiserations to you and your family. And, you know, it's a shame we're going to miss your dad. It's very sad, but it's also a very strange thing because there is some kind of unknown energy that floats around, because whilst all this was happening to you, I think on the very same day, I had to take my dad into hospital. So we're all at this kind of stage in life where these sort of issues become more of a regular thing, or the, you know, the idea of getting old and becoming ill or infirm or whatever it is ahead of us all. And it sort of does make you think a little bit. The fact that it happens sort of so synergetically, almost on the same day, is very bizarre. For me, from my side, fortunately, it was an attack for my father, and he's back home again now. We managed to get him back. But it still sort of emphasizes the fact that we're not here forever. And thus the title, Mortality, we decided to go with that this week. So yes, once again, commiserations, Zach, because that's very obviously very sad. And yeah, I'm sure over the coming days it'll sort of hit hard. But yeah, I'm with you as always. You know, you can always talk to me about anything. I'm happy to be there. The thing is, I think that with these issues ahead of us, and where it links quite nicely into the confidence thing, is once we come to terms with the fact we are only here for a short visit, so to speak, we do, and once we accept that fact and we understand it, I think it becomes less of a pressure or a strain, and properly we learn to relax into that. And therefore, as a result, gain that extra strength and to do things that we once upon a time probably would have thought twice about, or if you were always brave, then it just gives you a little different perspective about how short the ride really is. Either which way, all the more reason to get on with doing things and making them happen. So it does tie in quite nicely with our confidence theme.
Yeah, interesting. And I hope your dad is doing well and recovering well. What's interesting to have this subject really, because I have been reading about, there's a psychologist called Ernest Becker, and I read about him in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. He was in the introduction, and then he wrote a book called The Denial of Death, and in that he says that a lot of people have death terror, which prevents them from leading a life by taking risks. But those ones that do, he said that a lot of, there are successful people are driven by the idea of an immortality project, which is something that they can leave for to be remembered. And he sort of argues that this is also, it has its good things. You know, there are inventions, there are statues, there are buildings. All of those are immortality projects, but they're also the bad things, like it causes wars because leaders want to leave an impression. It also puts society in a bit of a cycle, because a government has an immortality project, but when they're voted out, that gets ripped up and a new government puts their own one in place, and it could just continues in a cycle. So I think I was sort of, when I read it, I was thinking, is that what I'm doing? Is that why I'm writing books and creating things? Is it an immortality project? Or is it that it's just, I want to do the things that I find interesting, and it gives me a purpose and a drive in order to enjoy my life?
There's a number of things here. One, there's what we call a legacy project, which is something you want to leave behind, right? I don't know if it's this, you're trying to say the same thing, but legacy is very important, I think, if we have children, right, which mm-hmm. we both do. And I think, therefore, from my side anyway, that was the driver to get started and introduce me to doing rather than just thinking. Because obviously, when you have a child, then that child is obviously also growing and rapidly developing. So you want to try and, on the one hand, keep something from that period of time, but also something they can look back on or share with their family, with their children. And there's another thing which I think is what probably a vanity project, which is where somebody has an elevated presence in society of some kind and wants the world to remember them when they're gone, you know, in the form of paintings and statues and these sort of things. Because I think we had even something in the UK about a year or so ago where there was a politician, I think, or a politician who was involved directly or indirectly with the slave labour movement. And he was based around Bristol. I think it was Coulston or somebody like that. And somebody who's listening surely will correct me. One way or the other, I'm happy to be corrected on that. In fact, it was pulled down as demonstration, to the things that he was involved in and with, as were a number of other global leaders who had their statues, pulled down as a protest. So there are kinds of different forms of projects, as you had mentioned, immortality one I'd never heard of before, but maybe it's the same as a legacy one.
It must be a similar thing, because he... That's how he described it, but legacy project sounds almost similar, doesn't it? So it, I reckon that's the same sort of thing. But I think you're right with when you have children or with if you have a family, you don't want to leave some sort of mark. You want to leave some sort of trace or leave this existence having had something to do, something to say, something to celebrate. I mean, my dad moved to South Africa about 12, 15 years ago after my mum died. My mum died 24 years ago. So he had another life after that. When she died at 56, I'm 50 now, and that means still young at that age. And my dad was the same age. So he experienced lots of things that he never dreamed he would experience by moving to South Africa and starting a new life. And I think looking back now, it's sort of, it was a brave thing, but a good thing to do. And he's left the memories and the stories and things like that. I think, I kind of look at it from a love perspective. If you love your children, ensure that they know that, and you teach them lessons like to be confident, to be successful, to be at ease with themselves, within themselves.
Yeah, I do think we have to be careful with that word success, and it means different things to different people. But the confidence to believe in yourself, I think, is the point. The self-belief issue is really very fundamental to us progressing, I think, in whatever it is we try and do. But I was going to ask you a question. You know, you say your dad went to South Africa. What was the story behind that?
So he met his wife in Kent, where I live, and she's South African. Her family was still in South Africa, and my dad had his pension in one of these companies that went belly up in, was it 2008 or something? The money was taken, and that was it. His whole pension was wiped out. So he decided to sell the house he lived in, which was in a village called Pembury. That would then, because he owned it outright, he'd paid the mortgage off, because we'd lived there since I was about five. And then that money became his retirement fund, really. And he had other little bits and pieces here and there. So, and of course, the cost of living in South Africa is so much that all the British money goes a further way. So they decided to move out there, and they bought a house in Cape Town, and then sort of carried on from there, really.
Yeah, it's funny because, as you know, I've been abroad for a huge chunk of my life, yeah. And so to be back in the country I come from at probably one of the worst periods of its, you know, economic history at the moment is, yeah, it's kind of mind-boggling right now, especially I'm probably in the same state as your dad, in the sense that now is the time to kind of start up afresh and build up a new foundation in the worst possible time, and that's thinking, yeah, like, yeah, China really isn't the place to be right now, but or even in Hungary as well, but it's like, where is a good place to be if you want to do, yeah, that kind of thing? It's a tough world we're in right now. So it's a thought, it anyway. So it sort of got me thinking that.
Yeah, put a map of the world on a wall and throw a dart and see where you go. I think with this, it's about taking risks in your life and stepping into the unknown. My dad didn't know what he was going into in South Africa. I mean, all you hear are stories over here of how dangerous it is. I don't think he ever really felt, he never said to me he felt in fear. He was quite a jolly person, and the neighborhood loved him. But he, obviously it's a risk, but you know, you've got to take risks in your life. I think you have to step into the unknown. You can't plan everything. And also, to tie in with what we're talking about today, not put things off that you want to do, because you don't know how long you've got. We were all given an expiry date the day we were born. And I think, you know, however morbid that sounds, you can use that as the energy to drive you towards doing something and saying, well, I'm going to do it today rather than tomorrow, because I might not be here tomorrow, or the person I need to contact might not be here tomorrow.
That's very true. Very, very true. I think these things become very apparent over the last 2 or 3 years anyway, to be perfectly frank. I think the idea of planning and people asking you, well, you know, where do you see yourself in this period of time and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. I think, it, you know, you can plan to a certain point with your future. However, as I said, the last few years, they've eradicated a lot of that. I mean, I really couldn't see myself back here again. And yet here I am, you know. So we have to kind of enjoy the moment where, you know, the here and the now, and make the best of our situation. It's one of those win wonderful thought processes, but I think the moral of what we're trying to say here today is that you should seize the opportunities and make the most of the time you've got, and not be too worried about the outcomes, because they are what they're going to be, and just do the things that you enjoy doing and have the confidence and the self-belief to go for it. But obviously, you do have to, as we've said before, you do have to put a bit of time into that and a bit of practice into that and whatever it is you're doing. But, you know, there's no reason at all why you shouldn't be doing those things that you love.
And it is a running theme in all of our pods to take action, to do it. You obviously, if there's something you want to achieve And it, there's certain things you have to do to get there. You do have to think ahead and plan and say, okay, I want to be here, so I've got to take this route. And just like you'd plan a journey to, you know, if you're getting a train through Europe, you're not just going to turn up and just take any random train. You're going to know which one it is and where it's going to go. And
I don't know. There are people that do that. And I have to say, I have kind of done that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that either, because the adventure is then unplanned and all sorts of things. I mean, I've had numerous trips where I've ended up getting off a train at a certain place just for the kick of it. And adventures have taken place, and sometimes none at all. But, you know, I do think you have to do a little bit of that somehow as well, rather than waiting for something to come along and happen, and then you just respond. So, you know, there's room for a bit of flexibility there, I think.
I think that's the thing. A lot of that, when you want to, some people want to control the outcomes and control what's going on. And we are in the universe is chaotic, let alone the world or the country that we find ourselves living in. It's all a bit chaotic. So it's important to have that flexibility. And as you've just mentioned as well, staying present, being present. What you've got today is what you've got today. Where are you today? What can you do? And tomorrow, well, tomorrow never comes, really, does it? It's always today. And what's been done is in the past. It's in the background. And there was a thing you only know, I can't remember the quote exactly, but it's, you only know the path you've taken when you look back and see it. You can't, it's not by looking forward.
It's part of the journey, Zach, isn't it? I think the other thing is that if you look at films, that come to mind anyway, there's Groundhog Day, where, you know, you're constantly waking up at the same time in the same situation, day after day after day, until something changes. You change something in your routine to move on. And I think I've been guilty of that for the last a couple of years, for sure. I mean, I've done things and I have made changes, but you do slip back into the old habits sometimes. And, you know, it's important to try and make changes, positive changes, so that you don't feel you're in the sort of the same old cycle all the time.
That's very important. It's being in that, it's being aware of it as well. I think that's half, as we've said before as well, being aware is your first bit, and then it's taking action on the fact that you may have be doing the same thing, behaving the same way, whereas you do have the power to change it. And talking of films, I was thinking of, is it Dead Poets Society, where the Carpe Diem, seize the day?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's quite a relevant one as well in moving forward. But no, very interesting. And what do you think at home?
As you can see, if you're watching on our YouTube platform, you can email us at markandzachintro@gmail.com. And also, if you're watching us, or if you'd like to watch us, this is our YouTube address. You can see that, youtube.com/markandzach. Out. I love these names. So you can find us there, and we post our clips, video clips on that. And we are obviously on the various podcast platforms that you use. So you can definitely subscribe and listen to our weekly diatribe about all things life, confidence, and moving forward. I think, again, we haven't really been too specific about who particularly we are aiming these programs at. In our post, we say emotional freedom at the age of 50 plus. I mean, that really doesn't narrow it down just to those people. Of course, if you're a little bit younger than that, you're more than welcome. And it's not really about anything to do with age. It's just, this is where we find ourselves at now, and the changes we've made and the lessons we've learned. So therefore, it's, you know, it's relevant to whoever finds value or interest for it. But please do continue to communicate with us. So, yeah, well, anyway, as I said, condolences and commiserations about your dad, which is really quite a bit of a shock to hear that. And I'm wishing you all the best. And for the listeners out there, please continue to like, subscribe and all those great things. And please do feel free to write to us. And of course, if you've got any suggestions or ideas, and of course, we're more than happy to look at those as well. So I think that's us for this week. So we hope you enjoyed the show as ever. And we'll be back with you again, the same time, same bat channel next week. So until then, it's bye from me and...
It's bye from him. Take care. Thanks a lot.
Take care, Zach. See you all the best. Bye.
See you. Bye.